New York Real Talk with Pamela Sue Mann, Alex Lefchuk, and some incredibly inspiring guest co-presenters from the city that never sleeps via Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting.
Let's dance like pink flamingos do, and I will dance like me, and you will dance like you.
Well, it had to happen, I suppose. We had to start off a New York Real Talk with Pink Flamingos. You've just heard it. Okay, we have Pamela Sue Mann with us. We also have an extra special mixed media artist with us, and the focus is very much on the fabulous Diane Boisvert. hopefully I've got the pronunciation correct there, because we've got a lot of...
Oui, you did. Good.
That's c'est magnifique, Diane.
Oui, excellent. excellent.
So let's move straight over to Pamela Sue Mann and share with us, how did you actually manage to inveigle Diane to be part of Pink Flamingos?
This is probably way too much information, but sometimes I get these crazy ideas, but I don't think, and I know that a lot of artists do, but I tend to believe that my crazy ideas are actually something that the universe is tapping me on the shoulder and saying, you need to do this. Don't worry about the details. It's going to happen. This is the right thing, right course of action. So go with it, right? Just the muse. The muse.
Yes.
So a little muse tapped me on the ear and said, you must have Dion in your video. And so I didn't even think about it. I didn't question it. But little did I know that she has done some time on the stage and that she actually has studied acting and is a bit of an actor and comedian. You're out of the closet now, Dion. I've outed you. And she wound up just being absolutely perfect. Now, we did model. I think that was your choice, or Sammy Dagnino, or together.
Sammy, I think.
Yeah, you modeled your character after. Who was the visual artist that you modeled her after? What is her name? She's fantastic. The Japanese artist.
Which one? I know Sammy held out about my role there, but I don't know.
I'm going to look her up.
Okay.
Well, either way, we've got a whole range of things there. I'm currently looking at the Diane Boisvert, merci, gallery.com website. And again, some of the expressions that we've got here, very much an interesting combination. I mean, just talk through fresco painting and indeed how you followed that through with obviously taking from fresco painting to obviously the fabulous exhibitions that you've been putting on and people are knowing you for today.
About the fresco, it's like when I was in Montreal, finishing my Concordia University major in painting, I want to learn fresco. And in Canada, they did not have anybody there. And somehow, I find something in New York City. But the teacher was, I will say, mediocre. I will not name him. But after I was a part of a mural painter in New York City, and they find two people who work with Diego Rivera, Lucien Bloch and Dimitrov, who work with them. And they were 90 years old, I think, when I have the workshop with them. But that was fantastic.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because one of our regular co-presenters back in the day was Marika Rivera, who, of course, was the natural daughter of Diego Rivera.
Wow.
And she actually was one of our colleagues who we worked with in terms of Vladek Shebal. And Marika, also a substantive artist as well from that point of view, produced a whole range of things. But as you said, Diego's murals were very much to the fore there. And I think he shall forever be known as somebody who was, in many ways, way ahead of his time. And again, that expression of art was developed and enhanced and put under focus. I'm also thinking about Banksy over in Britain. I don't know if you've heard of Banksy and his tendency to do murals, or is that a case of, no, that's a bit too political for you?
Maybe it's not, but I'm bad with names, so I will have to look at him up. Banksy, no, I that don't recall me anything for now.
Well, actually, I'm going to butt in here because I tend to do that. But Yaya Kusama, she's the artist that we were at. So if you notice, the incredible wig that and the persona that.
Yes, okay.
Pink Flamingo's video. It's Yaya Kusama. You know what? I was just thinking of something you were saying, Dion, and it has to do with it's really funny now talking to artists and knowing myself as someone who kind of goes into a cave and doesn't come out for a while and focuses on things. We tend to be horribly inept at knowing who artists are and even knowing popular culture. And it's funny to me too. I feel like people who have a broad base of knowledge of culture, of media, tend to look at us really strangely when they're like, so-and-so, and then we don't even understand the reference. And I don't know how you feel, Dion, about this, but I feel like, oh my God, I don't know what anything is. And I think, in the case of Dion, we have some of her pieces at home. And I've seen some of her, I've been lucky enough to see some of her exhibitions and pieces. And you don't get to that level of artistry without spending most of your time doing that, and probably very little time knowing who anybody is.
Exactly. And specifically with no, my memory for name is very bad because I'm visual, so I almost have to see the name tag a couple times to or repeat your name.
Well, let's progress onwards because we wanted to actually balance the whole continents here, because we've not just got one Canadian, we've got two Canadians with us, because Abby LeMay is with us as well. Abby, welcome back to New York Real Talk. any initial questions you'd like to put to Diane Boisvert?
Oh, well, I wanted to introduce myself. I mean, it's so nice to have another kind of Canadian entity on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't have any questions yet. I'm just catching up. I want to apologize for my lateness, having some technical difficulties. But I'm really looking forward to speaking with you. I looked through the gallery on your website, and your work is inspiring. I really appreciate the way that you look at life. And I think it's something that I can relate to. So I'm really excited to have you on today.
Thanks. That's great.
Makes perfect sense. And Kathy Manser, have you managed to do your research for this as well?
Oh, I absolutely have done my research. And just like Abby, I also went deep, deep, deep into the website and found everything to be just phenomenal. So I'm excited to meet you. Well, re-meet you, because we've technically met.
That's true.
And let's sort of finally to our other New York Real Talker today. That's, of course, Jessica Bertis. Jessica, any thoughts from yourself?
Well, I think it's always interesting getting to speak to a visual artist. I'm not a very artistic person, so I always get very fascinated with the mind of a visual artist. And it was so nice getting to look through your gallery. It makes me want to go see more art in person. Have you got any favorite galleries around you that you have to go to, some favorite exhibits?
But I, you know, right now I'm living in a small town, but, you know, when I go to New York, I like to go to the Modern Museum, the Museum of Art, and whatever is there, big exhibition that I'm attracted to. Here, for instance, you have a gallery that I really liked, called the Wire Gallery, and the owner is from Turkey, and he have a very great taste for his artists. I did participate in some of his shows, so that, you know, right now is where I am in the thing.
Pamela, you're keen for Diane to share the vision statement with us.
Yes, well, we spoke a while before. I realized that In the spirit of the mayhem in which I exist, I don't do a lot of preparation, but I was really impressed. I was incredibly impressed with Dion's, how on it she was. And I realized this is why you've been successful in your life, because you actually prepare. What is this preparation? This is all very new to me. I have to learn about this concept and try and become one myself. But she read over the phone this beautiful thing that sort of brought me to tears. About the inspiration behind her work. Again, I feel, you know, for me as a layman, just viewing art and not knowing much about it, we laymen are just moved by what we see and what we feel, and this visceral reaction that we have to works of art. But maybe don't think as much about the fact that there was a real clear intention behind that work. And when she read what hopefully she will read to us now, I was really moved. And I understood that, oh, this is coming from a very specific place, a very specific intent. And so I would love if you could share that with us, Diane.
Okay, what I wrote about Les mots pour le dire. Yeah. Les mots pour le dire. I'm sorry, I missed something here. All right, it's something I just will do a little intro. I did a series of cyanotype with an imprint on fabric and paper. It's a photographic printing process exposed with the sun. Mostly, half of it was in a photograph in the night, and the rest some object I liked. So, okay. Les mots pour le dire is object, find, pass, ephemeral, vintage, collection, transformation, la simplicité d'être, pure, beauty, fragilité, night, Silence, caméra, dazzling, adventure, trouver la lumière, embrace the moment, enjoying life, all those nights. The majestic of the night, the expression of the landscape, always make me feel so connected, connected to life at its best. The power of love through my eyes, living the intense moment over and over and over. Keep my heart beating with all the magic of life. I'm surrounded by the beauty, immensity, la beauté d'être. The joy of that moment is so thrilling and so intense. I love life.
Fantastic. And again, a wonderful way to actually lead into Diane Dufresne's Hymn to the Beauty of the World, basically, yeah. your choice of music.
Ne-tu mens pas la beauté du monde? Ne-tu mens pas la beauté du monde? Na 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 du du va 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 vi vi va va vi vi va va vi. Ne-tu mens pas la beauté du monde? Chaque fleur, chaque arbre que l'on tue revient nous tuer à son tour. Ne tuons pas la beauté du monde. Ne tuons pas le chant des oiseaux. Ne tuons pas le bruit du jour. Ne tuons pas du monde, ne tuons pas la beauté du monde, ne tuons pas la beauté du monde, la dernière chance de la terre.
Why did you go for Diane Dufresne?
Diane Dufresne, she's one of my favorite artists. You know, she's a great, great performer. And every time she had a show, she asked people to, you know, like one time it was about samurai and detective. Everybody who was in the show have, you know, something, samurai or whatever. And after the show, all St. Catherine Street was open for all the people who were to her show. So it was always a very big thing, and I really love her. And I met her also in New York at the Quebec House, so that was great. I was able to talk to her. She's one of my favorite Quebecois.
Okay, so, let's move back to the team. Kathy, any further questions you'd like to put to Diane?
Yeah, I mean, I was mesmerized by all your series, but especially your expansion series, where, if I'm understanding it correctly, how you kind of deconstructed, like the piano series. Yes. 'Cause I've never really seen that at all. Like I know what a piano is. I played it for years. I know what's inside it, but I've never really seen considered taking it apart that way. And I guess, what inspired you?
But, you know, I, previously, like when I arrived in New York and I was learning the fresco, I was living in the Lower East Side, and I find an old piano, and with that piano, I just took the some part of it, and I did a very great sculpture, and you know, I don't know if it is in my web, I don't remember. And you know, after that, it's just because I like that, you know, those pieces. So when I did my expansion, assemblage, you know, I have, you know, I always collect some part of thing that I like. So I collect a part of the piano or whatever, and I start to play with that, and I was like, wow, that's fun, you know. So that's what you know, what inspired me.
Well, and that's, it really comes through that you had fun with it, you know, because I could see, like, you put so much thought and effort, and it's so precise as to where everything is placed to. Mm-hmm. And it's just so interesting because, you know, when I think of a piano, it also has to be precise and specific in order to get the sounds that you need. But you found a visual way to do that, and music is not visual, you know, it's hearing. Yes, so you've changed its platform, mm-hmm. which uh-huh. I thought was remarkable.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, it's great. A similar challenge to actually dealing with art works via the medium of radio and audio. But we're doing it. That's the important thing. We are doing it. Abby, mm-hmm. let's turn back to yourself. Any thoughts now you want to add to the mix?
You know, I was just thinking about how interesting that concept is, and just kind of deconstructing something so complicated and showing how simple it can be. And I feel like that's just a great way to view art in general. Just flipping back to what we were talking about before, what Pamela was saying about what's behind the art and the meaning behind it. I think when I'm viewing a piece, I love to know the history behind it and why the artist is making a piece of art that way. So thinking of the piano and all of the ways that it's affiliated with us in our childhood, and the music that we listen to and what we love, and to be able to take something, you know, an instrument so complex, and to just break it down and show the simplicity of it, is just really super interesting. And it's a great way to look at life as well.
Thanks.
A philosophy of life. Pamela, how do you actually envisage your art scenario? Do you go through a similar process of thinking, what do I mean by this?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, it's funny that you ask. It's usually self-therapy. It's usually some sort of thing where I don't even know what I'm thinking. I'm just going along, la la la, and then something comes out and I write it. And then it used to be much more so when I was younger. Didn't realize that that's what my subconscious was thinking or working through, much like we do in dreams. And then I would just write the thing. Well, I guess I still do that. And then I'd look at the paper, at least for the lyrics that I'm writing, and I realize, oh, this was in my psyche. I had no idea until I wrote it to myself, and now I know what it's about. And also sometimes, like once I had a dream, this was so awesome, guys, and I'm really sad because I don't think I'll ever achieve it in this lifetime, but I had a dream of this heavenly music, and I was in heaven, and there was heavenly music going on, and I was surrounded by it, and I woke up feeling so transported and enlightened in a way. And there was just absolutely no way to realize this music because the sounds were not earthly. There were no instruments that I could name on this music, but it was just incredible. That was the one time that I wasn't really able to realize the thing that's in there, but I think
sounds
so. I
like
think
alien abduction, Pam. Are you sure it wasn't the sort of extraterrestrials who were taking you on an experience, really?
Since Alex, and then strangely, I met all of you. So, I'm wondering.
Well, I didn't want to reveal, but actually, you know, it's often been said I'm not of this planet. So, whatever, we'll just have to progress on that. Jessica, thoughts from yourself?
I think one of my favorite things was seeing how much the sun plays into your art. I feel like that was a big factor in a lot of your art that I was admiring. Was that deliberate, or did it kind of just match up with the style you were going for?
Some is deliberate, but some also, I did learn some technique, one from Dan Weldon, who invented the etching with the sun. And it's a special plate, metal plate that you put on the sun, and you know, like I like object, I put my object on direct on the plate and on the sun, depending of if it's hot or whatever. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, and after the process, you go wash the plate. And so it is also less for the planet, it's less toxic in a way. also, but it's beautiful.
Perhaps
it's
toxic.
A very toxic. So it's a very fun, great thing, and it's why I went back. I went in the COVID time. I did the cyanotype, who also is with the sun, and I was loving photographing in the night. You know, I was like where I am located, almost in the wood, and the balcony is doing you know, all around. So that was my. My view. So, but on the web, I don't have it all those last print, though. I will eventually put it on. Thanks.
Do you feel as though when you are putting together an individual exhibition, you have a greater sense of control? And is that preferable to working in a collaborative exercise with other artists? Or do you prefer a balance of both?
Balance on both. I used to have a gallery in Brooklyn, and so I was focusing that the artists have their own solo show, because most of our artists, visual artists, have too much group show for my own thing, and that was great. And I have a friend of mine, Enrica, and we were both doing the installation of the show, and that was very. Very, very great. And, you know, both I like, but, you know, to install the show, we were very good, me and her. So that was intense.
Now, I see a considerable usage of New York. Obviously, it is New York Real Talk, and lots of exhibitions in Brooklyn and other areas within the whole field. I see, obviously, a good representation of Canada in terms of Montreal, Quebec, and so on, and areas with respect to that. I don't see any Toronto, Abby. I'm not sure whether there's
no, I did not Toronto.
Yeah.
But Paris, Grand Palais in Paris. With a group
this is true. But are there, I mean, again, with respect to the Paris thing, any sort of intentions to maybe take your art to an even more global audience, or is it a case of it already is via the web?
Yes, eventually I would like that, you know, but also I have, you know, since I did the fresco class thing, I have a lot of you know, I have a lot of work with a lime plaster, and now you have a lot of greenhouse building, and a lot of people don't know the lime plaster technique. So I'm there and doing the color and making all sort of sample for that. So that took me for the last couple years a lot of my time. But of course, you know, I want to redo my web, redo you know, all the thing.
Non, you worked on the you worked on the cloisters, didn't you? You worked on a project.
Yes, I did. I did a restoration at the library in the cloister, and wow, that was like I was on a 2-scaffold high, because and with a bucket that somebody was putting the thing in it, and with the lime technique to try to, you know, they had damage and.
Yeah. I don't even want to think about the health and safety issues of that, so I'll move straight back to Abby, I think. Any thoughts, please, Abby?
Yeah, I actually was very curious. I mean, I can tell that you're well-traveled, and, you know, I did take an interest in the kimono exhibition as well. Mm-hmm. So I just did wonder, I was a bit curious about, you know, what your interest in culture, and if there's anywhere that you would like to travel that you've not traveled to yet.
Yes, of course, I would love to go to Japan for the kimono, and that was great, because when I did my a show in Brooklyn with my kimono, some Japanese came by to the gallery, and they were like, wow, you know, they were sure I went to Japan, but I'd never been. But for the kimono series, I start with I saw one time, I was in a restaurant in New York, and I saw a drawing, and I did a little sketch. I have that in my drawer for a couple of years, and suddenly I saw it, and I said, oh wow, and I start the series with metal kimono, all the metal I can find. So that was great.
Yeah, those are beautiful. They're like little in little shadow boxes, aren't they? Sort of.
Oh, some are in shadow box, but some are pretty big, like 4 feet by, you know, 5 feet by 4 metal. So.
Kathy, you've covered an awful lot of the globe, from South Africa to Australia, through Malta, through England, through other South America, and so on. Any further thoughts for yourself or Deanne?
Actually, yeah, I to kind of keep on the focus, since you've I saw, like we've discussed already, your galleries have been in New York, Canada, and Paris, and I wanted to know if you've ever analyzed the audience reaction, and I wanted to know the difference between the countries or the locations, if or maybe the similarities.
But you know, the gallery I have just was in Brooklyn. I did not have a gallery in Canada or Paris. I did exhibit there.
Sorry, not exhibits, as a my fault. Yeah.
But yeah, the reaction is you know, like the reaction, like I would say in Paris, because I did a big assemblage, montage, and because of my background, because when I was younger, of course, my parents don't want me to go to art school. So I went as a nurse. I did 5 years. And after I went traveling to Africa, 2 years, a year in Europe. And after I went back to school for art. And so in Paris, they were like seeing in the assemblage, they were seeing my background. As a nurse, I was like, what? You know, that was pretty interesting to see. You know, they were very different people, ambiance also. And but that was great. That was fun. In Brooklyn, what was I like in New York City, you know, the cosmopolitan. And so you meet a lot of different culture in one place. So that's great. So that too, you know, the reaction is very different all over. But in Canada, of course, that was welcome too. But, you know, sometime I have some review in the press because I did an installation at the Mont-Royal in Montreal. And that was viewed for a lot of people. And it was, I did some sculpture with... wood that I found on the street, and I was doing paper making in that time, but I took a screen, and the, you know, the paper making was like a sculpture, and I was putting object and hanging that. I was the seven urban tree, and with thanking the people to trash their thing on the street. I have a big reaction of that. They were telling me, she exhibit the detritus, blah, blah, blah. But that was good because they talk about me in a way.
Well, everything that you're saying, I have a question, John, and I wonder if in the art world, the quote-unquote art world, if it's changed and been sort of globalized and deconstructed, where, as you say, I think it used to be back in the day, you go to, as if you were lucky enough to be invited to a special, and of course it was mostly male anyway.
Yes.
And then people are very, maybe judgmental or very closed in the way that they think of you or judge you based on what your, you know, your lineages and where you come in the class system and where, you know, like what your training was and what your inspiration was, but in a much more judgmental way, maybe. Maybe now, and I could be wrong, but I would love your thoughts. Do you think that people are more globally open-minded and don't really care so much about that when they're looking at somebody's art and they're moved by it? Do you think that the audiences are more... is it egalitarian? I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. I would say yes. It's more egalitarian.
Let's test that, if we may, as the token male here. Kathy, do you worry about the audiences, or rather the artist's background when you're viewing a piece of art, or does it matter not one iota?
I think it depends. I think I take the art as itself, and then I'm curious. I think that's more it. I'm curious more about the artist's background, and I like, it's kind of like a mystery. Like, why were they, why did they do it like this? What, usually they're inspired from something in life that's kind of put them in this path and created this. So I want to know the connection out of curiosity. But sometimes not knowing is kind of the beauty of it, because you can guess or try to predict or assume in a sense to see if you can figure it out yourself. So I think I can take it either way.
Jessica?
think it's actually a really interesting idea. There is Alex, you probably know who this is, but I forget the name. There's a philosopher who basically delved into the idea of can a work exist on their own, or is it informed by the context of its creator? And whether that is something that we should consider. So I think it's too mind-bending for me to think about, but I like seeing a work of art. But whenever I see something that really catches my eye, I do want to know a bit about the creator's inspiration, and knowing the context tends to change how I view the work. So I do think for me it's a bit important.
Well, of course, Roland Barthes had the whole science of
Thank
semiotics that he actually
you.
developed with a direct result of that. And speaking of semiotics, Abby, any thoughts from yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I love going to art galleries. Actually, when I was visiting London the last time, I spent 2 of my days in the gallery there, the National
You had
Gallery.
your sleeping bag, you had everything, really.
I had everything. Yes, the first day I went and I spent 3 hours there and I didn't finish it, so I went the next day before I had to leave to go up to Lincoln. So every time I'm there, I think it really is if there's a piece that I'm particularly interested in, then I do like to know what moved the artist to make the piece. And sometimes it really does make the piece stronger and add a little bit more meaning to it. But I have found actually there are a couple times where I truly love a piece and then I find out the history, the context, and then I kind of have to forget about it because it's almost kind of not aligned with what I wanted it to be. So you have to be careful with that, but I can't say that I've ever been interested in, oh, where did they train? Who did they train with? And it's less about that for me personally and more about why did this piece come to be? And what piece of them exists in this piece of art that I'm looking at, and just to make it more personal.
Yeah, I think that when you look at a retrospective, which sometimes Jerry Fay and I will go to retrospectives, we went to Kandinsky at the Guggenheim, which was really fantastic. Dion, I'm not sure if you made it to that.
Yeah, I did
Well, I know it might still be on. I don't know, but
that.
this was October maybe. And then you see at one point the Nazis took his supplies and they took his paint. And but before they took everything, you see that he's basically painting on the equivalent of like a cardboard box kind of thing. And that informs everything. And then of course the love of the cosmos or somebody's spirituality if they start exploring it through their art medium. I think retrospectives are really good. And like it because you're dealing with one artist and you're seeing a whole life of that person's work. So one day we'll have the Dion. Not
Rétrospective.
for a long time, but
A couple years.
Well, Diane, it's brought us neatly around to Jane Seabury and Love Is Everything. Your reasons for this, please.
My reason, Jane Seabury also, I love her. I saw two or three of her show when I was in Montreal. She came in New York City. I also met her in a as music store, and she inspired me a lot to create. When I was doing my painting, I was always on her music because she inspired me a series of painting that I did that I absolutely love.
Does
Gonna
she
make
know
you
this? Did you tell her this?
no, but at one point when I was a student when I was doing that, and at one point I want to send her one because I was like so much in love and I did not do it. I
Oh,
regret it.
you should have done that. Did you hear about the Joan Didion? That photograph of her, and they didn't never knew who it was. Or he painted her, right? Did he paint her? No one never knew it, but it was always behind her. So every time there's this photograph of her, this huge painting. She never knew where it came from, but they finally found the man who painted it.
Oh,
But his brother, they finally claimed it because it was auctioning in
wow.
Christie's or something for crazy amounts of money.
Oh
But money is so trivial when it comes to the
Yes, it
spirit
is.
of the soul. I'm shocked, Pamela, that you should
It
even
is.
bring that in. It's a typical New
I live
Yorker's
in New York
attitude, but
City.
still.
It's expensive here. So we have to pay our rents.
Maybe it was to learn how to love. Maybe it was to learn
was for the love we made. Oh, love is everything they say. Chickening out, you're banging on the beach like an old tin drum. I can't wait till you make the whole kingdom come. So I'm leaving. Maybe it was to learn how to fight. Maybe it was for the last. Chickening out, aren't you? You're banging on the beach like an old tin drum. I can't wait till you make the whole kingdom come.
it has brought us round to, very briefly, a wacky New York moment question. Pamela, over to you.
You know, I think I made the mistake of telling Dion about this, and I shouldn't have, and from now on I'm not going to, because I think she prepared for this as well. Am I correct?
Well, you prepare for what? To have $3 million?
No, have you ever had, I thought I did, maybe I didn't. It might have been a dream.
The aliens have abducted you, Pamela. Basically, Diane, have you ever had a moment in New York when you've been walking the streets, etc., which you just thought this could only happen here? It's so wacky.
Yes, more than one moment.
Just keep going for show one.
Yes, there's more than one. Wow, I don't, you know, you have so many that now you keep me off guard.
Maybe we should actually save that for your return, because it actually brought us neatly round to the last two questions. Well, of course, you could actually put this to, obviously, our other New York Real Talkers today. Of course, Kathy Manso, Abby LeMay, and Jessica Burtis. And, of course, star of the show, Dion Waver. Pamela, over to you, please.
Actually, because I believe that Jessica was the recipient of a very prestigious award, I'm going to actually have her ask the two questions. I'd say the only advice I would give you on how to ask them is just be as curt, use as few words as possible, get to the meat of it, and I think you're going to do a better job than I could ever do.
Okay, Jessica, contributor of the year for the Midweek Drive, you now have the role of the last two questions for New York Real Talk. Take it away, Jess.
I am honored. Okay, Dion, did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I was a little bit nervous at the beginning because I was like, ah! But no, I really enjoy it, because also I receive a lot of input that will help me going forward. And, you know, and it was very interesting also to see that, you know, that people are very concerned about what the artists, visual artists, think about before. Sometimes I don't even think about, you know, I'm like in the moment, and that come to me, like sometime when I was doing my suspension, I don't know that if that piece will be there or there or there, but you know, I was just doing, and that was like magic coming.
Diego Rivera would have been proud of you, Dion. Yes, back to you. Question two.
Yes. So will you come back again?
Oh, me, oui, if I'm invited, certainly, I would love that.
S'il vous plaît, s'il vous plaît.
D'accord. Merci beaucoup, Alex. Merci à tout le monde. Et toi, Pamela, que j'aime.
C'est magnifique. Ce sont les mots qui vont très bien ensemble.
Oui.
As was once spoken by a famous Beatle. Kathy Manso, Abby LeMay, Jessica Burtis, of course, Pamela, we've got the final wrap-up before we say farewell to Dion, or au revoir to Dion. Pamela, New York, of course, is home of what?
The world's finest pickle.
Supermarket with you. Wanna dance in the supermarket with you. Wanna dance. let's dance like pink flamingos do. And I will dance like me. Let's dance like pink flamingos do. And I will dance like me. And you will dance like you.